What is your name?
Paul Harden.
Where do you live?
I live in the Lexington area, northeast of Ashland.
What is your occupation?
I'm a farmer and rancher.
And how old are you?
64 and a half.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck Fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
I can't remember that for sure. I know I started watching it on radar, the smoke, and watched some of its advancement. But I think Linda, my wife, might have told me about it.
Yes, so where were you, and what was your immediate reaction?
I was concerned because the humidity was 3%, and the winds were expected to gust at 60 to 65 that afternoon. And I knew we had a lot of grass in the area, and a lot of it was pretty big because of the previous rains that previous summer.
Yep. So what were your thoughts and actions when you first learned that the fire would hit your property or likely hit your property?
Well, I had talked to my younger brother, Jim, and we both talked about the need to prepare. And I told him I had seen the weather forecast and knew that there was a cold front that was supposed to come hit from the northwest. And by that time, I had seen that there was one or two fires to the northwest of us that had started southeast of Mineola. And so we both figured it's a lot better to be prepared and not need it than the other way around.
So did anyone call you, or did you get any alerts that told you that there was a fire in the north, or how far the fire in the south was? Were you talking with people out that way? Or?
I was not. My wife was. She had has a good friend, Karen Reimer, who called her and said that Ashland was to be evacuated. So Linda invited her to come to our house because our house is out in the middle of what then was a nice big green wheat field. And I felt like that we were as secure as you could be on a day like that. And so Linda and Karen were keeping track of the fire by way of Facebook and I think some phone calls, and I was getting some equipment ready to fight fire, and so that's.
So what type of equipment, and what were you planning to do?
I had been using my brother Jim's water trailer. It was hooked behind one of my pickups, and I had just been hauling water to my cattle with it, but he told me he had a fitting that was back at his house that I would need to put on in case we needed the pump, and he has a long hose and with a 1-inch nozzle, and he can it'll hold, his trailer would hold, I think, 1,100 gallons of water. So I went down to get that fitting, and I also had my hired man hook my four-wheel drive tractor up to my offset disc in case we needed that.
So once you saw the smoke and stuff in the northwest, did you have very much time before the fire got to your area?
No. I had been monitoring the fire by way of radar, as I'd mentioned earlier in the afternoon, and I mistakenly believed that the front was going to hit around sundown. And so I'd gone to my brother Jim's to pick up that fitting, and he has a tree row to the northwest of his house. And just as I was leaving to go back to my house, which is 2 miles away, my wife called, and she told me, she said she could not see our neighbor's house anymore, which was 1 mile away. And I was like, really? And she said, yes, the smoke is really dark there. Well, the wind was just switching at that time. And as I left my brother's place, I came around his tree row And it was like the picture, I think, that was taken down by Inglewood, I believe, by Neil Kay, to see the black cloud, kind of like the Dirty 30s, was maybe a mile and a half away at that time. And as I drove back towards my house, I drove into that, and that it just turned as blacker than I could imagine it ever could be. My lights just, it's like someone had put mud on my headlights because I could barely see the road in front of me. And I had to sit up straight and look over the hood just to be able to see my driveway.
So once you returned home, then, and the smoke's there, is the fire there yet, or just the smoke?
Just the smoke. I do not know exactly when the fire hit us because, as I mentioned, my house is in the middle of a wheat field. So my hired man and I were in that smoke, finishing hooking up my tractor and disc, and then I his wife had called and she was. Very concerned. They were evacuating protection at that point, and that's where he and his family live. And so I sent him on home. He actually ran into the fire on the protection road right at the county line. But I did not know it. Somewhere along that line, Mick Sharp, who is the manager of Ashland Feeders, called me and told me that the fire had already hit John Moore's place and had gone through it, and that was the first I knew that it basically it was upon us. Just the thick black smoke probably lasted 5 to 7 or 8 minutes, where you could just barely see, and then it slowly started letting up.
And then could you see flames?
I could not see flames from my house because of my tree row and because of the smoke. After my hired man left, I felt like, I need to assess this. So I drove out into my wheat field to the northwest of my house, and that's where I saw the flames were in my neighbor's pasture to the northwest of my house. And that's... I had seen the flames across the hills to the west probably, I'm going to guess, a half hour earlier. Mm-hmm. That would have been west of Ashland Feeders, probably another 5 miles west, just on the horizon.
So you've grown up in the country, and you've seen lots of wildfires and probably some... what do you call them, controlled burns?
Oh, yes.
Can you, is there any comparison between those and what this was like?
They're both fire. That's where the comparison ends. A controlled burn is usually exactly that, and you don't do it when the humidity is 3% and the wind's blowing at 65. Thankfully, I never saw the wall of fire that some people endured. When I got into my tractor with my disc to go fight the fire, by that time the wall basically was past us, and so I had more of the side fires most of the time I and my brothers were trying to fight.
So where'd you go?
The first place I went was straight south of my house and then turned west along the protection road toward the community building. My brother Jim had called me, and he and Phil had gone that direction to see where the fire was, and they came upon it as it was coming across. It was already south of John Moore's house. And in the grass to the south of John's house, it had gone through John's place. And so my brother called me and said, "How soon can you get here? Because it's about to hit the protection road, which is a paved road, And I said, well, I was on my way coming as fast as I could get there.
So you were all on tractors?
No. I was at that point. Jim and Phil were in a pickup to assess where the fire was. They had no idea that it was that close either. And so they ran into it there near the anhydrous plant in along Bluff Creek.
So yeah. Did you go back and get the water tank at any point?
Phil and Jim did at some point there. I think fairly quickly after that, but by the time I got there with the tractor, the fire had already jumped the road and was down into Bluff Creek. But it was coming down the road ditch, and so I used my disc and started fighting fire in the road ditch because I had some haystacks to the east and, you know, obviously wanted to try to protect those and, you know, just stop the fire anywhere you could. Yep. The one mistake that I made was, well, I made several, but one, the first one that hit me was in our hurry to get the tractor hooked up to the disc and get going, I did not check the hydraulic oil. And being on the slopes of the road, I was low on hydraulic oil, and suddenly I could no longer steer my tractor. Yep. Thankfully, I was in the road ditch and off the paved road, but at the same time, there was fire coming towards me, and mm-hmm. that concerned me, too.
So did the fire go on the north side of the road where the schoolhouse was?
It never made it to the old schoolhouse, the old Lexington schoolhouse. We later on, my brother Jim took my tractor and disc and made some passes to, in case it came down that draw, that would, you know, protect the community building. But there were some weeds further up the draw that it did not burn through those weeds, and so that that stopped it there.
So this was afternoon and evening?
Yes, it hit. I was going to go look, and I didn't look at my phone log to see when Linda had called me and so on, but it hit somewhere, I think, between 5:15 and 5:30 that afternoon. Yeah. And so we then were fighting the fire wherever we felt like we needed to. Jim used my tractor and disc and on the road ditch some to stop it in case it came from the north and keep it from going further south and across places.
So did you spend all evening and night fighting fire?
Yes, till.
How far east did you go?
We never made it very far east. We went south several times.
How far south?
We made it up into our hills three different times because the fire would restart up there from one spot or another. And that's, we probably got 2.5 miles south of the protection road up in the mm-hmm. hills on the grass there. East, the furthest east that we made was until the next afternoon, was there at my brother Jim's corner, which would be 29 Road.
Yeah. So did you lose any electricity at your house? Or?
I have a generator that kicks on automatically. Mm-hmm. My wife said she did not remember what happens. The electricity will go off for about 5 or 6 seconds, right, and then the generator kicks on and it'll come back on. And Linda did not remember that happening, but it was a rather exciting evening.
Did you have to move cattle?
No. I am so thankful, and I know my brother Mike is also. We got that ice storm in January, and that renewed our wheat, and so I had my cattle were still out on wheat pasture, and so were Mike's. we were getting ready, or I was getting ready to move mine off the next week, which I ended up doing, but that was the blessing. So I did not have to worry about getting them off of some grass because they were all on wheat if they chose. There were a couple of places that they could also go into a pasture or the wheat field, and they were safe, so I'm assuming they were in the wheat field during
it. So you mentioned that you did some firefighting on Tuesday. Where was the fire on Tuesday?
Well, I might just back up and tell you. Okay, on Monday night, there were several places that we tried to fight fire. I was bringing my tractor south of Bluff Creek, and the arm ripped out of the rock shaft on my disc, which basically, I was done. It dropped it down on the ground, and so at 7 o'clock the next morning, I called my hired man and told him I really needed him to come weld that back, and by noon, he had it fixed, and so I got to start using it again Tuesday afternoon. So when we lost that, Jim at some point had got his tractor and disc hooked up and used it until he tore the gang off of it and ripped some axles off. And then so he got another disc and basically did, that one, some of his tires were flattened, so he ended up running. So we went through three offset discs that night. And
so is it going through places that you couldn't really see and running over stuff?
By that time, the smoke had let up enough. There were places that the wind could not either get to real well or the grass was thinner. Sagebrush, and we found my brother Jim discovered a place that the fire had, as it was coming down Bluff Creek, he discovered a place he could fit between some trees with his disc folded up, and so Phil and Jim and I made our stand there and started disking that, and Phil's stepson Connor Mall, I think, took me back to my tractor that had a loader on it, an 8300 John Deere, and so I started pushing trees over with it that were on fire, and we made a fire guard then on Bluff Creek with using Jim's water trailer and my tractor and loader and Jim's tractor and disc, and that saved both Jim's and Mike's alfalfa stacks. A lot of equipment that they both had down in that area, and a lot of grass and a lot of fence.
Was Jim's house ever in danger?
No, not because we got that done. If had it gone on down Bluff Creek and then started back burning for a little while, the next day the wind went back to the southwest, and at that point, had it been down on the creek, that could have endangered his house.
So how much trouble was the wind on Monday? Did it stay coming out of one direction, or did it switch a lot?
It did not switch a lot on Monday. It was either out of the southwest, or boom, it switched very quickly to the northwest, swung west and to the northwest very quickly. And then it stayed out of the northwest all that night.
Did it get cold?
Yes, it did. And I had on a jacket, but I was in and out. And of course, when you're occupied, you don't think about that stuff near as much. At one point there, Jim ended up picking up Dale Coverdale. Dale was attempting to get to Buckland, and he ran into the fire and ended up down the road ditch and almost got stuck there and came back, and so he ended up helping us part of the night. Dale did not have a coat, And at some point, I made it back to the house and got him a coat. But he had gotten wet helping Jim refill his water trailer at one of those points in time. And it was cold and it was windy. And so with all of that, he definitely was cold. So for a time, I put him in my tractor with the heater on and got him warm back up. So,
what did it look like when the sun came up Tuesday? Can you see? I mean, were you pretty tired?
I still had too much adrenaline going and was still fighting fire. There's always a few things that you remember vividly.
Yes.
And I took very few pictures that night because I was just too busy, you know, fighting fire here or calling a brother, okay, what about this, and are you doing that, and whatnot. But at one point when we had gone up into the hills to try to stop the fire there, I think I'd pause for a moment wait on a brother or something, and I looked around and I noticed it did not matter what direction that I looked. I could either see fire or I could see fire reflecting off of smoke. 360 degrees around. It was one of those deals that you never think that you'll ever see, but we did. And
was the fire high? Was it still jumping blazes pretty high, or was it mostly on the ground and the wind was blowing it?
It depended upon where it got to. Mm-hmm. By that time, the fast stuff came across where there was no fields, you know, and pretty good sized grass that, you know, like some of our grass, my brother Mike and I both were saving some to graze our cows on as soon as we came off of the wheat. Right. And both of us had that grass burn, so we did not have that anymore. I was not there when most of that burned, but I'm assuming, you know, that it burned real fast there.
Was it pretty tall?
Some of that was pretty tall. Yeah, but where we were at most of the time, it was not real big, and I could get my disc, you know, out on it. Yes, it was hot in the tractor and all that. But
so is this native grass that's never been broke out before?
Most all of that, yes.
So it would be really tough to get your disc through it?
Well,
kind of?
Yeah, but you just do what you got to do. And if there's rocks, there's rocks. And up there were canyons, so we had to... I tried to go up a canyon wall, putting out fire that my tractor dug down. And I couldn't make it up, so I went back to a place I could climb or could get up, mm-hmm. and turned around and started disking back in the fire. And then I went off of that place that I couldn't go up, and thankfully it wasn't as fast as a roller coaster, but it was every bit as steep.
Yeah. Some interesting things that you got yourself into that evening?
Yes. Thankfully, nothing that I ever... I've had people ask me if I was ever afraid, and no, I wasn't. I don't know if that's because I'm foolish or because I was busy, but I never really felt in harm's way, even when I did lose a tractor later on that night, and even when it was on fire, I just, when it got so hot in the cab, I knew, well, I'm done. I got to get out, and I can't do anything about it.
But, so were you all in constant contact, or were you in kind of the same vicinity?
Phil and Jim and I, the majority of the time, knew where one another was or was going to be. When Jim and I were working hard to make a wide barrier on Bluff Creek, it had also gone into a tree row on me, and was burning down through that tree row slowly. The wind had slowed it down, so it was not burning fast. But that took us a long time to put that out. We had to use my tractor and loader to pile some trees up and move them out of the way that were dead and leaned over. And then we had to use his water trailer. Meanwhile, Phil took Jim's tractor and disc up into the hills and made a barrier right along the edge of the fire for quite a ways. And by the time he came back, why, that disc was also.
So about how long did it take you to do all those, set up all those barriers and disc all that stuff?
On the creek, we probably worked right there at that spot for 45 minutes. Well, it would have been longer than that because I had to go get my tractor and loader to push trees over and to pile them up. That was probably close to an hour and a half. And then we went to the tree row and worked on putting that out. And that's when I put Dale Coverdale in my tractor to warm up, because he was standing there shivering, and I happened to notice him, and I was like, hey, let's warm you up. So, and meanwhile, that's when Phil had gone up to the hills and had made some barriers up there, which in a couple places it jumped, and so we ended up back up there two different times. And in fact, after we got the barrier on Bluff Creek and we felt very secure on that, then I had taken my tractor back to the house and hooked it up to what's called a box scraper. And I took it then down some road ditches and further north on Road 29, I made barrier there on the road ditch to... And the fire burned right to that barrier, and a couple of other places, and then we went up in the hills again, and I took my tractor and box scraper up there, and I was using it, and when you use it, you basically have to drive over the top of the fire, yeah. So the second mistake I made was not realizing I needed to wash off the back of my tractor really well so that there was no oily dirt on the back, because that's where the fire started.
And that's the tractor you lost.
Yes. And I had a towel in there, and I tried to get out and beat it out and could not do so. And Phil and Jim were on the other side of the canyon with the water trailer putting fire out over there, and I tried calling Phil. Well, the phone signal was not very good up there, and it went to his voicemail, or he was on the phone, one of the two. And so I headed that direction with the tractor until it got warmer than I liked in the cab. And so I bailed out and started walking towards them, and they got the fire out on their side of the canyon and looked over and saw me, and so here they came, and so they saved the loader, but the back of the tractor burned up and inside the cab. So
was your house ever in any danger since it was surrounded by wheat?
I had a little concern that night, because before I left, I could look straight overhead, and there were embers going over the top. Well, 3% humidity, how big of an ember do you need? I had a tree row with grass out there and brown grass around the house. So I, as a precaution, I set up a sprinkler near the tree row that's right close to my house to soak down the grass there, so that if it landed there, it would not start that grass, which then would start the trees, which then were directly in line with the wind blowing right to my house.
So did you have a lot of smoke damage in your house?
No. We weren't close enough and you know, had the windows shut and yep. all of that.
So did you lose any buildings?
No, I did not.
Just the tractors?
I lost that tractor, and of course a lot of grass and a lot of fence, and I managed to even save all my bales, the funny thing is, after something like that, when you hear how bad it was for your neighbors, you feel some guilt, but that's false guilt, mm-hmm. because I didn't do anything. That was just the way that it happened, and I was never so glad to be a farmer as I was that night, because I had a wheat field around my house, and I'm very, very thankful that I felt like I could leave my house and go, you know, try to put out fire somewhere and not worry about it.
So how many days did you fight fire?
We started roughly at 5:30 that Monday afternoon, and my son-in-law and a friend of his came from Marion on Tuesday afternoon, and they got to help put out fire. And I think by sundown Tuesday, we finally had everything out on anything that we felt like, you know, was a risk, to cause more damage.
Was there a lot of fires burning in the canyons that you had trouble getting to?
No, because it had just burned through there where we made the stand up in the hills. Most of those areas we could get equipment down into it, and the places we couldn't, we used Jim's water trailer with a hose.
Yeah.
And the one humorous case, when the hose would not reach, I was riding with Jim, and after my tractor had broke down, and Phil was up there with the tractor and disc in the hills, and we were there too, using his water trailer, and we couldn't quite reach. Well, Jim did not have he had no shovels, no paper sacks, no gunny sacks, no anything to fight fire with, and so we ended up down in the bottom of this canyon that Phil couldn't quite get to all of that, but we needed him to come and disc across this tall grass that was on fire because it was too hot for us. Well, he swung around through there twice, but he turned, and with the disc, when you turn, it rides out of the ground. It doesn't do any good, and then he took off, and we tried to call him. Of course, there's no signal when you're up there in a canyon. Mm-hmm. And then he saw it was on fire, so he came back again, and once again he turned and still didn't get it out. And so I took my coat off and started swinging my coat and used it to fight fire, because I couldn't, that's just too hot to stamp with your feet trying to put it out. And so he, third time was a charm. He came and we got him to go straight across it and basically put it out. Yeah. So when I got to the top, back up to the pickup and water trailer, I was holding my coat because by that time I was hot, having been swinging it and all, and didn't need it. And when I unfolded it, I realized my coat was on fire and it was smoldering. Uh-huh. So I've got about a 3-inch hole in that coat to remind me of the fire.
What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
One of them is looking to the west on, I still call it the old R.A. Dorsey pasture. And at that point, I have no idea why it did not just rush across that pasture early in the day. Evidently, the wheat fields to the northwest had slowed it down. That entire ridge was all on fire at the same time. And you just see, I mean, clear down on the Aldridge place, and I was probably looking at a mile and a half long, you know, fire just all, you know, all at one time. And I was surprised that that had not already burned. The one point that I think the thing that really bothered me the most was when I stopped for a moment that night to think about it, I was certain that I was going to lose neighbors and friends. I just knew that. And I'm so thankful that did not happen. And there's a lot of miracles. And I know you've heard a lot of those stories by now. How miraculous it was that people did not die. People were not seriously injured.
When you were out there fighting the fire, did you have trouble breathing?
Only the times when I was on foot. When I was in my tractor, if the smoke got bad, I would just shut the fan off so that I did not bring smoke into my cab.
Right.
And then, you know, when you change direction or whatever, then you could turn it back on and then bring fresh air back in. So
were you in contact with anybody else, other places in the county? Were you in contact with Mike?
Not until I saw Mike. Mike ended up with the road grader out in our area after he had worked around Ashland and over around Sitka and wherever all else he had worked, because he had tore up his tractor, I think, you know, here west of Ashland, so he went and got the road grader and used it. And I saw a road grader then just before dawn in our area as I was coming in with my tractor with the box scraper. And so I called Mike because I thought that looked like our road grader. And he said, yes, it was him. And he was making a fire guard, which also helped in saving a big area. And if you look on the map, there is it's kind of a wedge shape, that the very north end of it is the field at the north end of my house. And from there it starts getting wider and it goes towards the south-southeast. And that's where Jim and Phil and I and Dale and Connor managed to stop the fire on Bluff Creek, and then other places coming in, and so that saved a lot of fence and grass on us and on Steve Stevens and on some of the other neighbors down that direction. And
so what effect do you think this fire will have on the community, more physical or more financial?
I think emotional. It's brought people closer together, and that's stepping back and looking at the big picture, because there are obviously some people that financially it was very devastating for them, and I'm very thankful for so many people across this country that sent hay and fencing materials and, you know, so on and so forth. And I understood there are a few people that did not have insurance on their homes. But as a whole, I
I think probably emotionally, if we can step back and understand what we had happened and the miracles that occurred that so many of us lived through. And I say us, meaning us, my neighbors and friends. It's our choice what we do with that. If we go back to just worrying about us, or if we help each other. The way that our economy works out here and all, it works a whole lot better to help each other. And emotionally and physically, it works a lot better to help each other.
Yep. So, did you have any of the volunteers help you?
Yes. My brother Phil used a lot of volunteers on fence that I leased a lot of Phil's grass. And then I had two neighbors that were unable to do something at the time, places that I needed some fence put back in rather soon. And so some of these volunteers, I started to say help to me, but I think they did most of it. I showed them, okay, here's what we need, here's where we need a gate and a box corner, and I mostly managed, those people.
Did you go in and participate in with any of the meals that they had at the camp? And
I was able to do that one time, yes.
And meet some of the people? Did you get any of the hay?
Yes. Pretty much, people had to work real hard to refuse hay. Because I started off, okay, there was people that needed a whole lot worse than me. I still had some grass that had not burned yet. And yes, I'd... Down the road, I was probably going to need some. I was going to have to use some of my hay. And Randall Spare, at one point, told me, he said, "These people want to help, and you need to accept their help to let them experience the feeling of how good it is to help somebody." And that. That was probably one of the hardest things for me, is because I'm just like most people are out here. I'm one of the guys that goes and helps somebody that needs help, and I've not been in this situation needing to receive help. And I'd always heard people talk about how humbling that was, and I never understood that until this, and I certainly understand it now.
There wasn't almost no way to turn down help, right? There was so much that was needed.
It depends. I know of a couple of guys that put their fence back themselves without any help. Now, they did not have, they didn't have 50 miles or 100 miles. I'd figured up I had 15 and a half miles. Well, 10 of that was, landlords. Mm-hmm. And so I just had about 5 miles of my own. I'd put new wire on the last few years, and so most of that just needed repair. So
did you take advantage of the Community Foundation application or the FSA for fence and wiring and
yes.
stuff?
Yes, I did.
Tractor loss?
And I had some insurance. I've discovered, as most people did, that it wasn't enough insurance, because trying to replace that tractor with another one very similar was cost a lot more than I anticipated.
Yep. So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful, either during the fire or afterwards? Did you see any of the task force firemen up that way?
Yes, that on Wednesday, there were some of the guys from Colorado that were up that way, and there were still some trees on fire. It had, you know, burned all the way around them, so it wasn't going to go anywhere. But I think my brother Phil took them back in to put some of those out. It's funny you asked that. Jim and I discussed it later. Neither one of us ever called the fire department that night. I mean, because the fire started in the southwest part of the county, and you knew they were just as they were snowed under trying to save homes. And so we didn't, I mean, not that our homes ever were at great risk, but it was just like you do triage, you save people's homes before you worry about grass or fence or something, you know, as trivial as that is. I'd mentioned Mike had come up with the road grader. Well, after I burned caught my tractor on fire and lost it, then someone took me over to the road grader and I got it, and so we used it over on Steve Stevens some, kind of heading east with it, and we ran into, saw our first fire trucks. And that was, I think that was probably somewhere around noon on Tuesday. And then, so when we met them, they, you know, they were coming from the east and putting it out, so we turned and went back, and we could see it had restarted on back on us, on my brother Mike's grass to the west, so we headed over there. And as I headed over there, then the U-joint went out on the road grader, and so we had to park it.
So how was the fire rekindling? Was there clumps of grass, or was it in trees, basically, and embers were blowing?
The one time I know what it was, because I was very concerned about it, it was up in the pasture, and there was dried cow pies that were smoldering. Well, then as the wind came up then out of the southwest, and it, as it got drier there that early afternoon, why, it rekindled there. And I had, by that time my hired man had my disc fixed, and so I had, I think Connor took me back down my tractor and disc, and I folded it up and got up there, and that was the third time that we were there, and so that time I was able to disc it under really good, and Jim came along with the sprayer and anything that was smoking at all, you know, that was close to the grass that was unburned, and he would soak it down, and that's when we finally got all of it out.
Yeah.
Yep, up in the hills.
So, did you see any dead wildlife or cattle, or did you have to worry about any of that type stuff?
I've thought about that later. I saw absolutely none. And what I think the reason is that we had enough wheat fields in our area, mm-hmm. that, and we saved down on Bluff Creek, and there's lots of wildlife down in there, and I think it did not chase them out of there, and so they had wheat fields to go to, and obviously no back to the northwest where there are no wheat fields. There was, you know, that's where Giles lost a lot of cattle and a lot of deer and so on, but I never saw any rabbits, coyotes, anything that were killed by the fire.
So when did you go back to doing your normal chores?
Well, those are there every day. So I had to,
You were feeding cows while you were fighting fire?
Well, they were still on wheat. So I think I mentioned that my son-in-law from Marion came mm-hmm. on Tuesday afternoon, and a friend of his. And so looking back, you realize you are in a state of shock no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think very clearly then. And he's like, well, what about your electric fence? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, and so he went places, and where it had burned fence completely down, they put up some electric fence for me on that Tuesday mm-hmm. afternoon, and some of that they did until dark.
What about water wells?
Well, I was just going to say we have to check water. I had the fire burn completely around a solar well.
Oh.
It partially charred the wiring, and it still works fine. I haven't touched it. There's no bare wires showing, but it it did not seem to hurt the solar panels, and the casing is okay. The plastic casing. I did in another location. I didn't have water in a plastic tank, and it burned a hole in the plastic tank. But,
just a hole. It didn't melt it all the way.
Nope, did not melt it all the way. It just think the heat was intense enough that it just started melting it, but it obviously never caught it on fire.
Yeah. So was there a lot of neighbors or other people that came out to make sure you guys were doing okay, like on Tuesday and Wednesday, or?
There, you would run into neighbors at one time or another. I ran into John Moore with my tractor and disc after I got that road ditch put out. I went on down with my tractor, and that's when he told me his story, the fire going through his place, and he and Lisa were trying to hook up the disc to his tractor, and I mean, John was covered in soot, and it's just, I was just so thankful that he and Lisa were fine,
mm-hmm.
And then my brother Jim has a I forgot what you call it, the Bluetooth phone that's on his ear, and so he can talk and not have to hold his phone. And that night, when I think he was going to fill up water, his water trailer again, and he was on the phone to me when someone pulled up beside him and started talking to him, and it was like I could hear this person. I could not figure out who it was, and this person was telling me what they had been through, and I'm just like, oh my goodness. Well, it turned out it was Brandon Grigsby, and his voice, he had been in the smoke so badly it had damaged his vocal cords for the moment, and it did not sound like Brandon at all, and so Jim told me afterwards. So you know at times you'd run into, so if you were on the road, you'd run into someone.
Did you have to worry about down power lines?
I never saw any where we were at. And I think part of that has to do with the wheat fields and not having the grass, mm-hmm. because that's where I saw a lot of power lines and poles that had been burned with the grass. The intense heat caught those poles on fire, but I did not see any that night that were on fire. I'm guessing that's why. I don't know that.
So can you perceive of anything positive that has resulted from the fire?
sure the community, well, as a whole, is closer. You help each other where you can. When you hear a story of two brothers making up as a result of the fire, that warms your heart. When you hear, when you see people or hear people giving hugs that never gave hugs to anybody in their life, sometimes you got to look pretty hard for some of the good, but there is good there that happened.
So what can you do or have you done to prepare for another fire or big disaster like this?
Well, I keep thinking, I was told, Kim Canton told me that Nathan Mattson was keeping her abreast, of told her exactly when the wind was going to change and all that. And I keep thinking, whatever phone app he has that's weather-wise, I need that.
Yeah.
Just to know. I mean, I knew that the wind was going to switch, but I didn't know what time. And that was a miscalculation on my part, because I was not ready as soon as I should have been. I assumed wrongly, this is another mistake that I made, that after the wind switched, we could have fire in our area, you know, 30 minutes later. We had fire in our area less than 5 minutes after the wind switched, which completely stunned me. I mean, just.
So when you were out there, you know, driving the tractor and all that stuff, but did you have any trouble with the wind, like, blowing you around and stuff? Had it died down some, or was it still?
In my tractor, I was using my four-wheel drive then, and it's big enough. If I had been up in the hills when that first was coming through, coming at you in the smoke, I've been in that situation back in 1979 on Giles, and it, you can get disoriented, but more so you can't see. And if there's a canyon there, you can drive off in a canyon, and yeah. You know, so you have to be very careful. I learned that in 1979 because I almost did that, and it's given me, you know, that gave me a lot of respect for firemen that go into a pasture in the dark fighting fire, and they have no clue what that pasture looks like and where their trails are. And so
what types of things can the community do to prepare for a fire or any disaster? Do you feel we were pretty well prepared, as we could be?
I think as well as we knew. But, you know, you start naming names, where do you stop? But, you know, with Millie Fudge and the financial side and setting up what she had set up and the firemen, I mean, those guys from Colorado that are professional firefighters just were amazed at our guys, how well we could fight prairie fire. Well, we've gotten better at it because we figured out what works better and how to. And so that's, we were fairly well prepared there. I'm guessing for a lot of years, if we ever have a situation like that again and the fire starts somewhere, you're going to see a lot of houses that are disked around long before the fire might be there, just as a precaution. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think Brandon Grigsby told me that soon after that the CRP that's 100 feet from his house is going to be a wheat field. That to not have grass quite that close, and big, tall, rank grass.
Yeah. So do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you want to share? Anything else that comes to mind?
I'm... You know, the millennials get maligned a whole lot on the news. We saw a lot of young kids come from lots of states, and most of them knew how to work and jumped in and were willing to do so. And so I think we just hear about the bad ones. That's what news does. We all found out there's a whole lot of good people all across this country, and a number of them showed up, and if they couldn't show up, they sent money or bales or, you know, whatever it was. And there will be a lot of us paying it forward for a long time, because this ended up being the time that we needed help.
Yep.
And then this is obvious, but the firemen, their families, all of the folks that, you know, afterwards with the hay coming in and the materials and the workers and all those folks that worked so hard doing that, taking care of those people and trying to make it a good experience for those that had come and those that had donated hay and trying to get them unloaded and a lot of us are out in the country trying to keep our heads above water, but we all greatly appreciate that. The community stepped up and helped those in agriculture a whole lot, and a whole lot of us appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. So anything else?
I just thank God that, I mean, keep doing that. I've had a lot of people I've not been able to talk to about their experience, but, and I don't even remember what three people have started to tell me their story, and they preface it by saying, well, I'm not a religious person, but, and then they go on to tell me their story of the miracle that happened to them, that they're still alive, and that evidently happened over and over. And so, in spite of as tough as this was, everybody who was living in this county, there were no major injuries and no deaths, and that in itself was a miracle. And I'm very thankful to God for that.
So thank you very much for sharing your experiences with us. We appreciate all your time.
Well, I thank you for doing this.